Good morning. Good to see you today. We got a special guest today. Catherine Jones is with us. And Catherine's been with us once or twice before. And she's come out for a visit. And we asked her to share this morning just whatever the Lord put on her heart. So I know the Lord will speak to you during this time. And let's just pray. And Father, we just acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge your headship. You are in charge. You are Lord. You are King. You are the head of your body. And we are members of it. Connected to you. Receiving your life. Expressing that life that glorifies you. And we thank you that you're here today to express yourself to us, to reveal yourself to us. We thank you for Catherine, for the friendship, the counsel, and the help that she's been just in the few years we've known her. I pray this morning that you would just give her ears to hear just exactly what you want to share, and that we would have ears to hear what you want to say to us. So we just welcome you and bless you for being so good to us, so faithful to us, and for caring for us the way you do. And we give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. Catherine, would you come?
Morning. How is everybody doing today? Doing well? I'm going to hold it so I don't talk with my hands, okay? In just a few moments. I got to get a place on my phone. You know, the Lord, I was taught. I grew up in the church, and I was taught that you are sent somewhere for a reason and a purpose. And when you have invitation, there's a reason. So my mom, one who raised me in the gifts of the Spirit to minister with the gifts that's within each and every one of us, and God has given all of us gifts. Amen? Amen. And so in doing so, it's like when you go to a place, you ask the Lord, what is it that you want to do in the house? Who is it that you want to speak to, and who is it that you want to minister to, and what word do you want to release to the body? And so when I'm doing and asking that, my mom, I remember her saying before she travels all the time, the Lord gives her faces. And when he gives her faces, she knows she's in the right place at the right time. And so I'm like, okay, God, you can do it for my mom. You can do it for me, right? He's not a respecter of persons, is he? So when I was coming in and the night before I came, the Lord gave me a face. And so that person's here right now. But I know that Holy Spirit isn't releasing that right at this moment. So I want you guys for a moment is just to close your eyes and meditate on the Lord for a moment and just speak the name of Jesus. There's so much power and so much authority. And just begin to utter the name of Jesus. Just speak it out loud, Jesus. Just begin to utter praises and just begin to say the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Just begin to raise your voices. Just speak out loud. Jesus, you're the Lord. You're our King and our Savior. You're God Almighty. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the bright and morning star. You are God Almighty, holy, worthy to be praised. And Lord, we lift your mighty name and we glorify you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, we just ask that you come and that you breathe upon your people today, that you would fill us with your presence. We worship you. We just give you all praise. Just stand up for a moment and just utter praise and give thanksgiving out to our King and our Lord and our Savior. Let's begin to get out of our comfort zone and begin to worship him because he is God Almighty. And Lord, we give you praise for that. Lord, you are our healer. You are our deliverer. You set us free. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Father God. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Worthy to be praised. Just take a deep breath and let Holy Spirit minister in and through you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for resting upon your people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it good to speak the name of Jesus and feel his presence just come in and flood our souls? Thank you, Lord. Can you just sit there and thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that we as a people, as God's people, can call down the authority of heaven here on earth? And in Psalms it says, your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among your people. We need to grab hold of what the Word of God says in our heart, in the Scriptures, and apply it into our lives, not keep it head knowledge and put it into our heart. We really need to begin to stand and say, God, you desire to manifest yourself among your people. So I ask myself the question, why isn't he manifesting himself among the people? Why is it not happening? Why do you see it in little patches here and little patches here and little patches here when he wants all of God's people to grab a hold of the word of God, apply it in your life, and let it manifest in and through you so that his name is glorified and that you're not glorified? Amen? Amen. So now that you guys are sitting together, I have a word for the two of you. You two. Okay? So you're the ones who I had the picture of. When I saw you come to the house, Joni's house, and I asked the Lord, is now the time? And he says, no. And I'm presuming you're her husband, right? So he and you guys are picture perfect, just the way the Lord showed me. And so I'm going to get my phone because I don't want to mess this up. So I took notes as the Lord spoke to me through the evening about you guys. It was 2 days before I came. And I was saying, God, you know, am I in the right place at the right time in the right season? Is this where you want me to be? And so he gave me your guys' face. And he especially, and I am sorry, I'm terrible with names. Emily and Jeremy. So what I saw is that, or what I saw you guys, I saw you in your exact dress, to be honest. And I saw that you were pregnant. Now, I heard that you were pregnant by your conversation. And so I saw you just putting your hand on your womb. And this is a word that the Lord gave me about it, is God will make for his glory what the enemy wanted to bring for destruction. And he said, the baby in your womb that I am protecting, that child. I have that child, and that child is going to be a worshiper. And so, is she the one you showed me the ultrasound? So Micah showed me a picture of an ultrasound with the baby's hand just up like that. And so when I saw that, and then I saw you as the worship leader, the one who was singing songs, leading worship. And so I just want you guys to know that God has the both of you in the palms of his hands. And he has your child in his hands, and she will be, or he will be, a worshiper. And that what the enemy wanted to do for harm, God is going to just make anew and fresh for himself. Amen? Amen. To glorify the Lord. Amen. Can you give a clap offering? I also want that some people around her to lay hands on her, please. Are you okay with that? Could you put your hand on your womb, please, on the baby? Jeremy, can you just put your hand there as well? Father, your word says that you want to manifest yourself among your people. And Lord, you know what the enemy wanted to do for harm. And I speak the name of Jesus that you would come and that you would make new, that you would make whole, that you would, Lord, Father, just come with your mighty power and that you would put a hedge of protection around this child that's within her. That you have ordained this time and this moment for such a season and a time as this, that, Lord, Father, you would breathe life and life abundantly, wholeness and health. And Lord, I pray that their marriage would be one that would just be captured for you, strength and glory, and it would glorify you through all the days of their life, and that, Father, many would come to know you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Is it okay if I do a few more like this? Micah, you're next. Did you change your mind real quick? Okay. So when I was on the airplane, you were the second person, and I didn't have a face. But I'm sitting on the airplane, and, you know, a lot of times God will speak to me through my body and what's happening in other people's body. And I'm sitting there, and my knee started killing me. I mean, it was in so much pain, and I'm thinking, wow. And then I'm beginning to say, God, what's going on? And I'm moving my leg and my knee. And poor person next to me, I was getting the wiggles because I had the window seat. And I'm moving my knee. And, I mean, pain is just shooting up from underneath my kneecap, radiating up between my leg and into my hip. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, that's not you. So I'm looking around because God will often do that when I'm in areas and I'll feel a pain in my body and it will be for somebody else. So I was like praying and he's like, no, not that person next to you, not that person. I'm going, okay, God, whoever that person is, would you just show me? So I get to Micah's house and then they tell me that you have knee pain. And so I know we prayed for you yesterday regarding it and I didn't ask how you're doing today. But what the Lord spoke to me about it is this. He says, I am putting you in a place that you're going to have to rest in me. And because of the wrestling that's been going on within, he goes, I am changing. And he goes, as I change, there's this place that you have to rest in him for him to make that change. And he says, don't wrestle like Jacob wrestled. He says, rest in me. And he says, it's kind of like, you know, when he put the angel of the Lord put Jacob's hip out of place. He goes, I don't want to put your hip out of place, Micah. He says, rest in me. And he goes, I am going to go forth and I'm going to make the changes that I have placed into your heart. And the things that I have spoken to you, I will make them come to pass. But he is going to make them come to pass. And he says, just wait upon the Lord. And he'll renew your strength. So, Joni, put your hand on his knee. We're going to just pray. Lord, would you strengthen his knees? Father, we're the enemy wants to come in as well. And, Lord, Father, just tell us. We're just getting older. But, Lord, I believe that we don't have to have our bodies in a place of having difficulties. Because you're God Almighty. And you're our healer, and we can use every excuse. Well, we did this and abused our bodies and did that. But, Lord, you redeem, and you make whole, and you restore. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you restore his knees to complete wholeness, that there would be total healing and health and restoration in that, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So I just have a few more, if that's okay. Before I teach, what time do I have to be done by? Okay. Okay, I'd get hungry, you guys, if I did that. I'm just being honest with you. Okay, so as I was sitting here, someone with neck pain that's going from their neck running down into their shoulder. Does anybody have problems with that, where their neck or their shoulder, where they have difficulty? You do? Okay, so can I have, and who else? Okay. I'm going to ask those around you, if you have permission, to lay hands on you. So if you guys are around these people, and I'm going to pray for you, because God wants to heal that tension and that stress. Some of you, it's created from stress and tension, and some of you, it's just a place where there's like something out of place in your neck. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We just praise you. Father, Lord, I just ask right now that you would come with your mighty power and that you would heal, Lord, Father, every area, every place, Lord, where there's tension, where there's, Lord, Father, the muscles are all tight. And, Lord, Father, I ask that you release, Lord, your healing power into their bodies fully and completely, and that you would make them completely whole. Father, we bind the torment of the enemy where he comes to bring pain and torment and discomfort. And Lord, you came to bring life and life abundantly. So I speak and I declare total healing over these necks, these muscles, these tissues in the mighty name of Jesus. That Lord, though they will be completely healed. And those with migraines, who has migraines? Okay, lay hands on those who have migraines just that are around you, please. Lord, I speak to migraines right now in the name of Jesus that you would completely eliminate migraines. That, Father, that is not their portion. That is not what you've called as the pain in our behind the eyes and, Lord, Father, in the sinuses and the head, Lord, Father. I speak to that pain right now, and I say it is no longer, we call it void in the name of Jesus, and we release by the blood of Jesus Christ complete and total healing. We speak the name of Jesus over infirmities and sicknesses, and we tell them to go in the mighty name of Jesus. They have no authority. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. Randy, I see where a spirit of weariness is trying to take over you. Okay? That just a place of weariness where you've been weary. And Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord, the operative word is wait upon the Lord. He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And all the areas that you have been wrestling with, all the areas in your spirit that you've been wrestling with, in your heart and in your mind, God wants to come and he wants to say, wait upon me, son. And he's going to teach you the word Sabbath, where you have a tendency to go and go and do and do. And the Lord says, I want you to take one day a week for me. And in our minds, it says, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. But when you take a week, one day a week for him, it's the time to rest. Doesn't mean that you have to sit around the house and do absolutely nothing, or you don't have to have your nose in books and in the Bible, but rest and play. And he says, in that moment, in those moments that he's going to give you, the rest that you need, the weariness will be broken, and you are going to run much further than you've ever been able to run before. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a clap offering. Lord, we just give you praise and all glory. We magnify your name, Father God. We give you praise, Lord. Yeah. I'm just asking the Lord, do I stop there or do I keep going? What does he want to do? So I'm going to just share a little bit from the Word. You know, I have learned what family is about. And the Lord is teaching me more and more what a family really is and the importance of family. And so if you have a piece of paper, I'd like you to write the word family down like this, F-A-M-I-L-Y. And I'm going to give you an anagram that he showed me about the word family. Okay, next to the word family, as you wrote it down, F is fellowship. A is to abide. M is for minister. I is for invitation. L is for love. And Y is for you. Family. F is for fellowship. A is for abide. M is for minister. I is for invitation. L is for love. And Y is for you. So when he was giving me this anagram for you guys, fellowship. You have to have fellowship. It's the necessity for growth. Because when you have fellowship with one another, it's like iron sharpening iron, and that's what the word says. Sometimes you run against people that you really don't really want to run next to them or against them because it's just like, oh, that's a painful. But iron sharpens iron. And the word says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together. Have you noticed in the world today, it's like it's so easy to sit and watch television and say, I have church at home. I have church on my radio, so I don't need fellowship. But God has ordained where we need fellowship for one another. He created that. And he wanted fellowship so bad that he created this garden. And Adam and Eve were in this garden. And he walked with them in the evening in the cool of night. And he wants to walk with you, but in order to walk with you, you need to have fellowship with one another as well. Because that's where we hear the voice of the Lord. We hear the voice of the Lord through each other. We hear the encouragement of the Lord through one another. We hear when we need to be spanked from one another at times. Right? And we don't like that. But he says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Have you noticed how the world is just really coming apart? Family, we need to support one another, love one another, encourage one another. Be a part of one another. We're all different branches, and some branches are hanging like this, and some branches are just barely holding on, and some branches are having their hands wide up. Have you ever looked at a tree and saw all the different forms that are on one from the trunk of the tree? Look at each other. We're all different. Go ahead, look at each other. We don't bite. Right? We are all different areas. Some of them need to be nurtured. Some of them need to be pruned. Some of them need to have places but in their life. And some of them are just like as strong and as vital as they can be. But we all shed our leaves every once in a while, don't we? Fellowship, it's important. It's to support one another, to encourage one another, to grow together with one another as the day of the Lord approaches. And why is that? Because it's going to get really dark out there, and we need each other. And if we just say, oh, I've got fellowship on TV, Well, can you talk to a television? Well, you can. We yell at it at ball games all the time. No, stop, right? What are you doing that for? Get the ball, right? We yell at it all the other. Does it talk back? Can you have fellowship with a television? Can you have fellowship with the radio? We can have fellowship with our phones through social media now, but that's not fellowship. We need to have fellowship. F. A, to abide. To live and dwell. Abide in the presence of the Lord. I love my times with the Lord. Yeah, you know, I love it when I can just sit there and lay in my bed at night and just begin to talk to him. And I love it when he comes and he visits me in the evening hours. And I love it when I wake up in the morning and I just open my eyes and I can say, good morning, Lord. But my life wasn't always that way. My life was not always that way. But as I learned to abide in him and he with me, you can walk and talk with the Lord all the time. It just flows out of the inner being of who you are when you're sitting down and you're talking to someone. And you can hear what's going on and you say, you know, they need encouraged here. They need a word here. They need that. But that's part of us abiding in him so that he can use us. And we had some excellent words that came up here about us being doers of the word and not hearers only. That it's time for the body of Christ to begin to abide in him so that we could be effective doers in the kingdom of God. You know, God created the garden. You heard me say that. So that they could walk and talk in the garden. And then sin came in. And sin separates us from God, doesn't it? And it's like, God, why aren't you listening to me? Well, God didn't move. You did. And in Exodus 25:8, it says that they have them built, they had them built a sanctuary for the Lord, and he would dwell among them. Do you see, even in the midst of sin, that he still wants to dwell amongst us? That's his desire, is to dwell amongst us, to abide with us. And then we go further on, and then Jesus comes by the blood. In the blood of Jesus Christ. So he's no longer in a building. Where is he residing now? He resides in us. Can you imagine that? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives within you? Don't you know that? That we are his temple and he lives within us. The holy God, God Almighty, the God who performs miracles, the God who heals and delivers and sets us free, lives and dwells within us. And when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover because he lives in us. And it's not us doing it, it's him doing it. And if we're abiding in him, that fire comes in us and it comes in our bones and it's all shut up inside of our bones and it's got to come out somewhere. It's got to come out of us. And it says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for the temple is sacred, and you are that temple. We need to take care of what comes in into this temple. We need to take care of it, whatever comes into the ear gate and the eye gate. Because it's like, you know, it's like little kids. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? Sometimes we have to be childlike to say, this is the scripture. He wants us to protect that area because it's sacred. It's holy to him. And he wants to fulfill us and be in us and abide in us. And sin separates us from that. Abide. Fellowship and abiding in him. Are you guys okay? So how do we abide in God? How do we do that? Now, we think about ministry and minister when we're talking about him, right? So our first scripture goes to Hebrews that, you know, there are going to, I'll read it to you, Hebrews 4, 11 through 12. It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So why did he give prophets and teachers and evangelists? So that the body would be built up. It's not so that we can wear this title, I'm a prophet. I am a great teacher. I get to teach this. Oh, I get to lead this group. I get to do that. But we have so skewed ministry that we want to be in position before we minister to the Lord. And ministry comes out and is birthed from ministering to the Lord. It's not the other way around. We strive to go and be a teacher or to be a prophet or an evangelist. We hear that all the time. This is my ministry. But what are we doing to minister to the Lord so that our ministry can be effective? Family. We need to learn to minister to the Lord. It is a necessity because from our ministry to the Lord, as we minister to him, our ministry is birthed. When we're looking at that, one of the things that the Lord was speaking to me is when we have adversity, because when we start ministering to the Lord, we're going to have adversity. It's going to come. It's going to come whether we are ministering to the Lord or we're not ministering to the Lord. But when adversity comes, we have a choice of being burnt by the adversity or refined by the adversity. And it's all in how we're going to position ourselves as we minister to the Lord. It's so important for us to take that place. And think about Samuel. Let's just look at Samuel for a moment. Samuel 3, 1, 4, and 11. What happened? Samuel's there in the temple, and what is he doing in the temple? He's ministering to God, isn't he? That's what the word says. And then all of a sudden, God says to Samuel, Samuel, he runs to Eli. Samuel, he runs to Eli because he didn't recognize God's voice. He wasn't trained in that. So he had to learn to be trained. And what did Eli do? Go and say, yes, Lord. What do you want? My paraphrase there. What do you want? And Samuel went in there and said, what do you want, God? He was obedient to what his leader said. And then God just came in and spoke to Samuel. And he says to him, let me find it real quick. I didn't write that one down. I have it on this note. I threw this together because the Lord was speaking to me this morning. And he said, and the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. Why? Where was his ministry birthed from? Ministering to the Lord and hearing what the Lord has to say. So important that we abide in him. Because if we're not abiding in him, we won't hear. We'll miss what the Lord has to say to us. Really important because what had happened with Samuel right then and there? He was given an invitation, wasn't he? There's so many invitations that we receive that we just kind of like pass by. And to be really honest with you, bearing all truth here, is that Micah and Joni had said 2 to 3 times to me, said, you know, why don't you come down? Our house is open. You can come and visit. You can come and fellowship with the body. You can be this place. And I'm like, My schedule's really busy. I have this going and this going and this going and this going. Second time, guess what? Now, I just don't have time. Right now, my schedule won't permit it. It's just really packed. Third time, all of a sudden, it's like God began to speak to me. And he says, what if I ask you to go after the one? He goes, what if? And he goes, but did you ask me? He says, your schedule's so busy, you passed the invitations. You passed them. You were just so busy and so preoccupied with what you think you have to do that you missed my invitation. And God gives us invitations. And we need to be very, very careful that we hear the invitation of the Lord. And it's going to be sometimes a soft, why didn't you come visit? You need come visit and rest with me. Come rest in the house. Nah, I don't need rest, huh, Randy? I don't need it. I'm so busy. I have my own agenda. And we as a people in this nation and in this time in this world, we don't rest. We run from here to here to here to here, and we don't learn how to rest anymore. And God is calling us because there's many invitations he wants. And I'm learning that every single day in my counseling sessions and my pastoralship. And I'm seeing God, since I've learned this, God is just opening up doors of invitation after invitation after invitation. Is this being recorded? I'm going to ask you to pause the recording for a moment. So in Mark 16:15-18, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, drink poison, and it won't hurt them. And they will be able to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is what I'm really concerned about right now. God is in a place of inviting us. He's inviting us into a place of wanting to share the gospel, needing to share the gospel. You see this lost and dying world all around us. And we need to step in wherever we're at in the workplace. And it's just going to be the gentle nudge. Hey, this is what God wants you to say. And it's not going to be, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it's just in a store just saying, hey, how you doing? I'm going to pray for you. Once they begin to open things up in their heart. Maybe it's just being a friend to somebody. But that's what fellowship is all about. Do you see when you have relationship with people, that creates a place where God is going to open the door so that you can share the gospel with them. But if we're closed in our little church nooks, and we have these little cliques going on, and we're only hanging out with people that are in the church, how are we sharing the gospel? We're not. We're sharing it with each other, but the word says that we, and it's good, don't get me wrong, we need to be doing that because we need to support each other, encourage one another, and build each other up, and correct one another when we go astray. But what one of the key things is when we're out there ministering the gospel and sharing just whatever that small word is, whatever it may be, then we're planting seeds. And if you count all the people in here, how many people do you think we have? 100? Thank you. Okay, so we have 100 seeds here, right? So if every one of you ask God, Lord, would you just give me one person to share something with today, whether it be a hug, a smile, a gift, $5 to somebody who needs it, whatever it may be, and you plant that, that's 100 seeds a day. You have 100 seeds a day times what, 7 days? How many? Who's the mathematician? Huh? 700. So you times that by 365. You're my mathematician right now. So who is that? What? Who has a calculator? 700 times 365. Huh? Thank you very much. Can you repeat that, Abby? 255,500 in a year. Wow. Can you pray for one seed a day? One seed a day. Because it's like I've been reading in Spurgeon, this has been something that's really been on my heart, is evangelism and sharing the gospel, because we have a dark world out there. And this is what started it, about invitation. Is there? Spurgeon says, let it be said by each one here, if a soul perishes, I at least will have done all in my power to reclaim it. Let's do all in our power to pass the seeds around. Because we are the one who have the hope of glory. We are the ones who gives hope to a dark and dying world. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, and we have hope within us, and we can press that in and press it out and give it to people around us. And that is, if we're abiding in him and we're ministering to him and we're having fellowship, this is just going to come up and out of us. It's not going to be just stuck. It's not a place of fear. It will break fear. It will break those things, because in our life, as long as we're moving forward. Last one is love. Well, it's the last one. It's not love, but love. Love is a sacrifice. Love is a sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world from the beginning of time that he knew that he was going to have to give his only son. So that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 15:12-13 says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How do you lay your life down for your friends? How do you do that? Sacrifice. It's not always easy, and it's not convenient. Love is not convenient, and love is not easy. It's a sacrifice. Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. It's got to be sincere. It's got to come from within. You know when someone is just blowing you off and doing what you want them to do, and it's not from love, don't you? You know it. You feel it, and God wants us to have sincere love. So how do we purify ourselves with sincere love? Matthew 27:37-39, and I'll close with this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Minister to the Lord and abide in him. That's how you're going to get there. It's that simple, but so that difficult, because the enemy wants to pull us from that. Love your neighbor as ourself. A lot of time we don't love ourselves, do we? There's a lot of times when we have a difficulty loving ourselves. But how do we get that? How do we love our neighbors if we're not loving ourselves? It's going back to knowing his love for us. It's going back to that first full circle, knowing that he loves you so much. That no matter what where you've been, what you've done, what's going on in your life, no matter what the circumstances are, he loves you. He loves you. He really, really does love you. Each and every one of you, he loves you. His love is so great for you that it just comes and it just ruptures all the strongholds in your life. It comes and it heals every broken place that's been in your life. He comes and he restores. And he takes what the enemy has stolen to kill, steal, and destroy to bring life and life abundantly in you. That's how great his love is for us. And we need to share that with other people. And why is for you. It stops if you're not doing it. It's us who carries it. We carry the truth of the gospel, the life within us, the love within us, to share with those all around. There's times where we have a hard time loving people. And until God did a mighty work in my life, I didn't like people. I didn't like men. I didn't like women. I liked kids and dogs and cats. But when you allow God to come into your life and change you through all the brokenness and all the hurt and through all the things, his love is so great. He gives you a love for people that is so overwhelming and so powerful. And he wants you to receive that. I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Now, in my church, I ask everybody to hold hands. So I'm going to ask you that you hold each other's hand for a moment. Thank you. I'm going to ask you that you just begin to take a deep breath and let the love and the presence of God just come in. As you're touching each other's hand and you feel one another's support, just begin to feel the support of the person next to you, knowing that we are all family. I'm connected with you guys. You're my family. And we're all different. But I just ask right now that you would just begin to breathe upon your people and manifest yourself among your people. That you would put a supernatural love in their heart for you and for each other. That, Father God, that you would come and that you would sow in this next season for them, they would have such a heart that it would break the strongholds of the enemy, and you would come in and bring love for the lost and the dying, and that there would be a release of your spirit amongst this body and a gift of evangelism, that they would look at the people that they come in contact with and say, I have Jesus. And Father, we have eternal salvation. And we are yet to be with you throughout eternity. And that's your love for us. And we get to live with each other Would you breathe a spirit of your love amongst your people? The sincere love in which you carried the gospel for generations to generations. And Lord, we give you praise and give you glory. We say thank you, Father God. Infuse us, Lord. Let it be a transfusion that happens in our hearts today. And that, Lord, every time they say the word family, they will think of what we just taught about. And they would have fellowship and abide and minister and invite and love. And, Lord, it's each one of them. It's you who carries that. You get to carry that. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give each other a hug?